Hello and welcome back to my podcast. I would like to thank you all for listening to my podcast. I am very grateful and thankful for that. And I will be talking to you all about what's been going on. I feel a lot better since my last podcast when I was in that depression stage. I'm pulling myself up out of it. And I feel a whole much lot better. But today, I will be, letting you guys know what happened with the results of the MRI. And I had that done on the 8th, the MRI and the CT scan. And I got the results back. And the results shows that my discs in my neck and spine have deteriorated, and they are setting me up to go see a neurosurgeon. And once I get that appointment to go in and see them, I will let you know where we're going to go from there. But I am very grateful and thankful that I know now exactly what's wrong with my neck and spine, because the pain is getting to the point, it's getting much worse, that is it's bothering me 24/7 now. I'm constantly having migraines every day. I'm having shooting pains from my neck going up to my head and down from my neck down my right side, my hand, my right hand and arm getting numb, my feet getting numb. It's affecting me a lot more. And I've been dealing with this neck issue for a year, and the rheumatologist, he just didn't make an effort to try to help me, to find out what was really going on. Because my internal medicine doctor, he got the last year results and this year results. If the rheumatologist had did his job, they could have actually, saved some of my discs in my neck, because they all wasn't deteriorated at the time. And now they're all deteriorated. So that's why my neck leans from side to side at times. And then it gets stiff. I have bone fragments that is there in my neck. And the internal medicine is very worried that, if when my neck gets stiff, he told me not to turn it, because I can't, if I turn my neck when it's stiff, the bone fragments can, pinch a nerve, and I can end up being paralyzed. So now I'm back in a neck brace to try to support my neck, to keep me from turning it, unexpectedly. So it's been really difficult, because I have been asking the rheumatologist, I need to see someone. I need to see someone. Something is wrong with my neck. And his answer to me was pain management. There's nothing pain management can do for me. And the internal medicine doctor confirmed that no pain meds they can give me is going to help my neck right now. I'm going to have surgery done to repair it. It's so frustrating when I thought I had found a rheumatologist that actually cared. But he showed me, and his staff showed me, that they didn't care. Because when I went and talked to where I had my test done and asked them, did the doctor request anything. And they like, no, they haven't got no request for my records for the rheumatologist. And then the rheumatologist telling me that, you know, he requested the records, you know. And although I have gave him copies of the records, and he still not tried to get me in touch with a neurosurgeon or neck and spine surgeon. So it was to me like he just wanted to milk my insurance. I was supposed to have an appointment with him on the 23rd of last month. I canceled that appointment at the beginning of the month, of March. And I just, I'm not going to be able to make this appointment at this time. I will call y'all when I, able to come in and see y'all. So my whole thing is that he's been fired. I'm not going back to see him. Me and my case manager with my insurance company, we are working, going through rheumatologists. I'm checking with the medical board, seeing have they had any reports on these, doctors, what they, how are they? Because I need someone that's going to really help me, because when I was diagnosed, they told me that my body was going to start deteriorating. All they can do is put pins and needles and rods and stuff to hold me together. And that's all I'm looking for, because I know there's no cure for rheumatoid arthritis. There's no cure for none of my autoimmune diseases that I have. So I accept that. But I need doctors to understand that I'm in pain. I can tolerate so much pain. But when I get to that level where I can't take the pain, I need you to do something. It was a couple of Sundays ago. I was in so much severe pain that I had to go to the urgent care for them to give me something to relieve the pain, and it only lasted for a day and a half. But that day and a half, I did have some relief of pain from my neck. And they gave me a mixture of, pain meds in a shot. But I can't constantly keep doing that, and I can't be constantly taking all these narcotics, because I don't want to damage my liver and my kidney, because so far they are still intact, and I don't want to keep putting that harsh medication in my system, because I was on narcotics from 2004 clean up until 2017, when pain management decided they didn't want to give me no more pain meds. But I was fine with that, because they gave me a time for my body to start healing, because their meds had did so much damage to my intestines, to where they had to go in and cut out half of my intestine and reattach it, because I ended up with colon cancer because of all the medication that I was taking along with the narcotics. It ate away at the lining of my stomach. So it's just that, I'm more now into trying, using alternative medicine to help me. And I drink my teas, my herbal teas and stuff, that helps. But when that pain gets to that point where it's a 10 plus, there's nothing that can stop that pain unless I go into the emergency room or urgent care and get a cocktail. And like I said, that cocktail only lasted me a day and a half. So I can't be constantly doing that neither. So I need these doctors to understand that when your patient come in and tell you that they having issues, don't just push it off and look at them and make them feel like they're crazy. Because we are the patient. We know how our bodies are. We know how we are feeling. We the one knows what's going on with our body. We can tell you what our symptoms are, what is going on. It's up to you as the doctor, the educated one that's supposed to be, to help us to figure out what's best method for us. And when you get to a point that if you don't know how to read x-rays and MRIs and CT scan, you need to pass that over to someone that do, for their patient's sake, for your patient can get help, instead of you putting a band-aid on it and thinking that it's okay, that they just gonna go with what you say. I don't do that. I get a second, third, or fourth opinion. Because like I said, when he decided that he wasn't gonna contact anybody to help me, I went to my internal medicine doctor and I told him what the problem was, what was going on, and why the rheumatologist wasn't doing anything. He wasn't helping me. So he reordered the tests that I had last year. That's the ones I did on the 8th of this year. And he compared both of them. Now he's sending me to a neurosurgeon because he said, I need help. I need seriously help now. He put me in a neck brace to help me, to support my neck, to keep me from damaging my spine and stuff, before I can see someone that can actually help me. Those are the doctors that you want on your team. Someone that actually cares about your health, not just because they can milk your insurance. I'm not going to let no doctor milk my insurance if you're not helping me. That just point blank. I'm not that type of person. I don't go that way because I pay too much of a high deductible every month for me to be able to see specialists without have to pay a copay. So I'm not going to let you just use me that way. It's not going to happen. So once I see the neurosurgeon, I will definitely come back and let you guys know what's going on with that. It's just like my neck now. It's all stiff. I can't turn it. And I'm grateful and thankful I am in a neck brace. So I won't be able to damage myself at all. It hurts to hold my head down. It hurts to try to hold my head up. I mean, sleeping is really bad now because with the neck brace on, I can't sleep. I have to sleep on my back. And now I'm propped up sleeping on my back. It's been a really trying time for me right now. I thought when I was going through my hand surgery, it was really bad, my back surgery, but this here is worse than all the surgeries I have had on about my rheumatoid arthritis. This is the worst. I mean, I don't understand why these doctors are like this. But he will remember me because I did report him to the medical board, because that is unacceptable. Where this could have been taken care of last year. And every time I would call your office, y'all would give me a different story, a runaround. So, enough is enough. And I had my chemo on Wednesday. That was an exciting day. My day started off wonderful. My morning started off beautiful. I woke up, I did my meditation and everything. I had my breakfast, I got ready, And my daughter wasn't able to be able to take me that morning because she had something at work very important that she had to do. So she wasn't able to take me. So I had called my insurance for transportation to pick me up. So they had scheduled for them to pick me up. They said they'd be here and pick me up at between 8 and 8:15 because my chemo started at 9 o'clock. So I waited about 8:30. I hadn't heard from transportation. So I called the insurance company back and I asked them, you know, can they find out they're going to pick me up for my chemo appointment because of I had to be there at 9 o'clock, and it's 8:30 now. So he put me on hold. They called them. They told them that, oh yeah, we'll be there within 10 minutes. Okay. I waited 20 minutes and I called them back. I'm like, okay, they said it was going to be here in 10 minutes. They're not here. So they called them back and then they're going to say, oh, we're overbooked. We're not going to be able to pick her up. Why you didn't say that on Monday so they could have rescheduled someone else to pick me up? So now the insurance company, it's going to take them about an hour to find someone, another company, to come and pick me up, to squeeze me in on their schedule. So I call the doctor's office and I told them that transportation is running late. And they had to reschedule to get me another ride. And they said it's going to be about an hour. How late can I get there to, you know, get my chemo? So they told me the latest I can get there is at 11 o'clock. Knowing I have to be there for 5 hours. My chemo lasts for 5 hours. So, and on top of that, I had to see the doctor. So I like, okay. So the insurance company finally got a transportation person. They called me and they was like, what is the latest you can be get there? I was like 11 o'clock. And she said, well, and I said, here it is now 10:15. And she like, well, it'll be a close about 11:15 before we can get someone to you. I like, okay, never mind. Don't worry about it. So what I did, I ended up calling my daughter-in-law and asking her, would she come and take me? And she said, as soon as she leave the doctor's office with my grandson, because he had a doctor appointment that morning and she was there with him. And I asked, I said, well, you think you'll be able to be here before 11? And she's like, yes, I think I will be able to be there before 11. But what she ended up doing was sending her niece with the car to take me because she wasn't able to leave herself. And I was still able to make my chemo on Wednesday. That's how my morning started. I got there like 10 minutes before 11. That was fine. I got in, got signed in. The ladies at the desk were like, we was gonna call you. You normally here on time. I like, it would've been a wild morning. So they put me in the system and the ladies in the back came out, called me, and I went in the back and got set up, got in, you know, in my chair, and then they came and accessed my port and everything, got me set up. And while I was sitting there waiting for them to mix my medicine and stuff in the bag before they, you know, give it to me, the doctor came around and talked to me and everything. And I was telling him that, you know, since the last time I seen him, they had started me on a new medication. And I told him the name of the new medication. So he was asking me, he said, so how often do you get your port flush? I said, well, you had it scheduled every 3 months. So he said, we're going to change that. It's going to be done every 6 weeks. He said, because the medication that you're taking is set a blood clot. And we don't want to set up a blood clot in your port, so we're gonna flush it every 6 weeks. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then he told me, he's asked me how was I feeling, and you know, when did, you know, my hands and stuff start swelling. And I told him it was about 3 weeks ago. So he said, what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna give you a triple dose of the medication, and I'm gonna give you a double dose of your of the pre-meds. He said, but you're gonna probably most likely you're gonna be asleep the whole time. And I did. I slept the whole 5 hours. When they was done, they woke me up and she's like, we're done. I'm like, okay. She said, you're not driving, are you? I'm like, no, my daughter should be outside because she had got off work then. It was 4 o'clock then when I left out of there. So I went through all that and I came home. I was still tired and sleepy. I told my daughter, I said, can you just fix me a bowl of soup or something, bring it to me? And I ate that and I went to bed. You know, chemo, it takes a lot out of me now. I used to be all energized and everything on the first day. Now, since they're giving me more than I used to get before, because he said he's increasing it because of my rheumatoid arthritis is elevating. It's getting worse. So he trying to give me more to make sure that it lasts all the way up to the 6 months. So I go back in 2 weeks and get my second dose. And then after that, I go back in 6 months. So when I go back on the 27th, I'll be there for 5 hours again. So my daughter, she requested a day off. So she would take me where I won't have to go through all this, what I went through Wednesday. But I said, I'm feeling good and I'm, you know, my hand is, the swelling is going down. So after I get my second dose, my hands and fingers and everything, my joints and stuff will feel a whole lot better. And I'll be able to, you know, move my hand, my right hand a lot more. And when my internal medicine doctor, he asked for the x-rays and stuff on my hand and ankles that the other rheumatologist that I had went to see before about my neck, she had did x-rays on my hand and ankles. So he got those and he wanted to see what did she see, you know, other than her addressing the issue I came to see her about. She was worried about my hands and ankles. So he looked at them and he told me that I'm going to have to go back and see a hand surgeon about my hands and my ankles. He said because the bolts that's holding the titanium rod in place, they have worked their way loose. So they need to be redone. So like I told him, after this next issue, I will go and I will let them work on my hand first. And then I wait. And then once my hand heal and stuff, then I go back and I let them do my ankles. They're going to do one at a time. So I know most likely this year, I probably end up having maybe 3 surgeries because like I said, with my right hand, I'm going to have to go to physical therapy to be able to learn how to hold a pen, learn how to rewrite all over again, because that's what I went through the first time. And on my right hand, I had 5 surgeries done on that one hand. So like I said, it's that where, you know, when I need you doctors to know, be honest and talk to your patients, you know, and just, you know, and listen to them. Because if she had to listen to me when I first went and talked to her about my neck, you know, we could have got this issue taken care of. She didn't even do no x-rays, no CT scan, or no MRI on my neck. And I'm sitting in her office with a neck brace on. One that I had when I had my neck surgery the first time. And I'm sitting, and she, you know, she's not even addressing it. And I'm telling her, it's my neck that I'm here to see you about. She worried about my hands and feet. Okay. And then I left her and went to the rheumatologist that I was going to then now. And he wasn't any better. So those 2 doctors, you know, they're going to remember me because I reported both of them to the medical board because this is unacceptable. You know, that a person that's going through what I'm going through is suffering. You know, no one should have to suffer of what they're going through. I watched my sister when she was diagnosed with metastatic cancer. And it took them a year and a half to even come up with a diagnosis of what was wrong with her. And I was constantly telling her, you need to find a different doctor. But oh, she trusted these doctors. She actually trusted them. And they did not help her. When they really found out what was wrong with her, it was too late because she was in stage four. When she started having the issues, they should have started then. No, they did not. They was telling her, oh, this is this, this is that. Giving her all other excuses. And then when they run, it wasn't even that. It was too late for her when they found out that she had metastatic cancer in her stomach. It was too late. And I'm not finna sit back and let these doctors do this to me. Cause I watched them do that to my sister. And I begged her, get a new doctor. Get a second opinion. But she, you know, she trusted the doctor. She, you know, she listened to her friends and they was telling her, oh, he's good. He did this for this person. They can do so much for anybody else, but look what they're doing for you. They're not doing anything for you. That's the person you're supposed to be more concerned about. Don't worry about who they don't took care of and helped before. You want them to help you. That's the way I look at it. And I think everyone should look at it that way. So I, you know, me, I do background check on them. Find out their status. Both of these doctors had good status, but their method of treating me didn't live up to their status of all the reviews that people was putting out there on the internet about them. It was a bunch of lies. They might help them, but they didn't help me. So, you know, like I said, you know, do your research. Research these doctors. Just don't take word for face value, what people say about them. You do research, check with the medical board, you know, and find out, you know, what are they doing? What grade level they at? Have they have any reports, you know, filed against them, grievances and stuff? These are the things we need to be looking at now, because it's too many people dying from doctors are not caring or doing what they're supposed to do for a patient. Because like I said, if my rheumatologist and them had listened to me and did what I needed them to do last year, I wouldn't be in this predicament I'm in right now where all my discs in my neck and spine are deteriorating. So, and I'm always having shooting pain now. That's unacceptable. I mean, come on. This is a human being. This is a human life that you vow to care for. And this is how you treat them? Not me. I keep it moving. I find somebody else and I'm looking. Because I'm not going to be constantly going to you and you're not doing anything. Enough on that note, but just keep that in mind. Please, people, keep that in mind. Get a second opinion. Check your doctors out. Make sure their qualifications is what they say they doing. Because you don't want to end up like my sister did, finding out too late what was wrong with her. And after they diagnosed her, she only lived 3 months. And the doctor had the nerve to tell her, oh, you got about 7 years at stage four. As bad, it was rapidly going through her body. No, she didn't have those many years, you know. But that's life. You learn from your mistakes. And I have learned from a lot of my different mistakes that I have been going through with doctors. But my lupus team and I, we've been studying a lot of different things and talking about a lot of different things about anti-inflammatory, what's good to help you with your anti-inflammatory. So I was doing some research, and that's how I came across the Mediterranean diet. And now the Lupus Foundation is saying that the Mediterranean diet is good for people that have lupus. It's good for the anti-inflammatory. It, you know, it's a way of eating. You know, they say diet. I call it a lifestyle, because it is a lifestyle change that you're doing. And you can incorporate what you like to eat into your Mediterranean lifestyle of eating. Because there are a lot of different things in the Mediterranean food that I don't like, but I find substitutes to, you know, to put in that place, you know, and a lot of the different things that, you know, that's really good that you need to put in your, you know, your eating habits or diet, if you want to call it that, olive oil, fruits, nuts, fish, lentils, vegetables, seeds, you know, pasta, you know, all those different things. Put that into your eating habit. You know, cut back on the red meat, the pork. Me, I don't eat any red meat anymore. I eat pork on it occasionally. I don't eat it like I used to. But I eat a lot of seafood, poultry. I eat a lot of wild game. You know, it's, you know, those are the types of food and stuff that I was eating before, but I integrated it into my Mediterranean lifestyle of eating, and I learned to prepare it a different way. You know, it's not that hard. You know, a lot of people say it's very expensive. No, not really, because you can get it to, you know, to your budget. You know, you don't have to go and get all this stuff, you know, that they have on a list to get. Get what you like to eat and incorporate that into it. Like I said, use, you know, olive oil. Like if you're going to have a salad, instead of a salad dressing, do a vinaigrette, you know. Something, you know, that's going to help you. Eat a lot of fatty acid. That helps. And, you know, fish, salmon, you know, tuna, mackerel, stuff like that that's got fatty acid. Eat that. You know, that helps. You know, I eat a lot of shrimp, crabs, lobsters, you know, stuff like that. That's the way I eat. And I put that into my way of eating. Me, when I shop for my Mediterranean food, when I go to the grocery store, or when I order, you know, delivery, I get the stuff that I know. Mostly, when I order like my olive oil, my different vinegars, my yogurt and stuff like that. I get that in my beans and stuff. I get that through, you know, the Instacart and, you know, and ships and stuff like that. But when it comes to my meat and stuff, I go to the fish market and I pick out my meat and stuff myself. I don't buy the meats that's already packaged. I get fresh shrimps and salmon, trout or red snapper, whatever I fancy. You know, when I go to the meat market, if they got fresh lobster, I get that. If they don't have fresh lobster, a lot of times they have pre-cooked lobster already, I get that, and I bring it, and I add that into one of my meals. You know, there's a way of eating and getting what you need to help you get rid of this anti-inflammatory. I just recently switched from the grain sea salt to the flake sea salt. So I started buying the flakes, and I found that on Amazon. And I get it in bulk, so I don't have to constantly buy it all the time. I get my olive oil in the big containers off Amazon, excuse me. And it's a lot cheaper than the big ones in the store. So, you know, and I have it set up to, you know, be delivered to me every 3 months. You know, a lot of my bulk stuff, I have it set up that way to get it every 3 months. So within that 3 months period, it's time for me to get some more. I already know it's coming. You know, it's ways of doing to eat. You know, I go to the farmer's market. I get my vegetables. I get fresh vegetables, you know, and it's you know, easier for me to do that because I can get a whole bunch of vegetables, like string beans and stuff like that, and I bring them home and I blanch them and I freeze them. So when I get ready to use them, I have them already. I have learned to do these different things. I research, learn how to do all this so I can stop buying processed food that's already prepackaged. You know, it's not expensive for me, you know, to do that because for me, within a month, for me getting everything I need for the whole month, I'm out of $200 a month for grocery. And it lasts me the whole $200 of grocery that I get the whole month. So I worked that into my budget of knowing how much I need, food I need a month, so I don't have to be running to the store buying this, buying that. I have a deep freezer. I get all my stuff. When I come home, I clean it up, I wash it up, and I bag it up. I mean, it's simple and easy to do it that way for me. It's like if I want something and I have a taste for something, I ain't gotta be sitting here like, oh, I wish I had this. I already got it. It's in my deep freeze or it's in my refrigerator freezer. I can go in there and get it, cook it, and I have me a nice meal. You know, I buy my lettuce and stuff. I buy my lettuce, different types of lettuce. I get romaine lettuce. I get the butter lettuce. Depends on what I'm feeling like. I buy rocket. I get arugula, spinach. I get all this stuff, and I pre-wash it when I get back home. I wash my vegetables up really good. I spin dry them, and I put them in a Ziploc bag, and they stay fine. A lot of times, if I don't have Ziploc bag, I put them in my little safe sealer containers, you know, and vacuum seal them and put them in the refrigerator, and it lasts me. You know, there's ways that you can put this Mediterranean into your lifestyle if you want to get rid of the inflammation, the anti-inflammatory inflammation. It works because I've been doing this Mediterranean lifestyle for 3 years, and it works. It works for me. I have released over 32 pounds within the last 3 years. It's a slow process for me of, you know, releasing weight because of all the medication that I'm on. Different medication make you gain weight, and my weight was fluctuating. It'll go down, it'll go up, it'll go down and go up. This year, for the last 2 months now, my weight have not fluctuated and went up. It's steady going down. So I'm thinking that my body is now more adjusted to what I'm putting in my system. And it's, you know, I'm releasing the weight. And I'm happy about that. I can't wait for them to fix my neck before I can get back into my exercise routine. Because I haven't been able to do my exercise routine in a year. No, 2 years. In 2 years that I have not been able to do my exercise. And it's frustrating. Because, you know, I want to be to keep mobile. I want to be able to be moving to keep my joints moving. I looked into doing chair exercises, sitting. It's not the same. You know, my momentum in my legs and stuff is, you know, it's good. But I want my whole body to be, you know, feeling the same way my legs feel. You know, my knees and stuff feel. So I can't wait till I have this, you know, whatever they're going to do with my neck to make it better so I can be able to get back into that routine. I still do my meditation that I do. I meditate a lot. Lately here, I've been doing it a whole more lot lately. 24/7, listening to meditation music, you know, reading affirmations, trying to uplift myself. Because like I said, when I was in that depression state, I had to really go deep inside and figure out what was going on with me. And I figured that out. I was depressed because I was frustrated because I wasn't getting any answers to what's going on with my health. And that made me more depressed because I was upset and depressed at the same time. And I had to really start listening to different meditation music to really bring me out of that. And I started going back, reading my journals and all my affirmations that I had wrote down to help me get focused back on to where I need to be. So now I'm back, you know, to where I need to be. And I'm grateful and thankful, you know, that I'm able to do this. But I really, you know, think, you know, anyone out there that's, you know, really have inflammation problems, look into the Mediterranean, you know, and figure out what is good and what's not for you. And give it a try. And like I said, it's not going to work overnight. You know, it's not a quick fix thing, you know, of getting rid of inflammation. You will start noticing it. With me, with my joints and stuff, when I first started, I think it was, what, in about 4 months when I noticed that my, you know, my joints wasn't stiff like they used to be, and my arms, you know, and my hand and my feet and knees and stuff. And I'm like, okay, there is something to this. And then a couple of weeks ago, when the Lupus Foundation them posted about the Mediterranean, I'm like, huh, I'm already doing that. So a lot of the members was asking, you know, have you tried it? Is it any good? What you think? You know, me, when I, you know, I responded and I told them, yeah, I've been doing it. I love it. You know, it might work for you and it might not. I'm not saying it's going to work for everyone because, you know, something that worked for one person doesn't work for the next. But give it a try. You know, don't dismiss it. You know, I went through a lot of different diets and stuff that, you know, when I was trying to release all this weight, a lot of it, you know, some it worked for the first 2-3 months and then it stopped. And I start regaining. So I, like I said, I went through a lot of different one, you know, systems until I found something that actually works for me, you know. And eating Mediterranean way food, it is really delicious. They have all kind of recipes out there that you can do, you know. They even have beginners for eating Mediterranean. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there. Check Pinterest. You know, you can find all kinds of meals. Or you can Google it. You know, they have recipes. You can, you know, do that. You know, find you a nice recipe that you might like to try and try it. You know, but make sure you getting your vegetables, you know, your fruits and nuts and grains and stuff into this diet, you know, when you're eating. Because like I said, you know, there's a lot of foods out there that's not good for you. But like I said, with this here, you know, use your olive oil. You make sure you get you some fish, you know, if you like poultry, you know, put that in there. You know, like I said, I eat different meats and stuff. I just don't eat a lot of red meat. I don't eat red meat. I used to love venison, so I stopped eating it because I loved it so much. But like I said, I do eat my pork every now and then. I may have pork once a month. That's to me is my cheat day when I have pork. So that means I'll probably, if I want some ribs or something, I'll do me some ribs, or I do me some stuffed pork chops with spinach and cream cheese, or, you know, stuff like that. You know, that's how I incorporate different things. I don't like chickpeas, just eating chickpeas. I like chickpeas and hummus. I make plenty of hummus out of chickpeas, you know. And I buy me bell peppers. I roast me a lot of bell peppers and put them in the jars with the olive oil. I have that when I need it. I have an air fryer where I dehydrate me tomatoes. I dehydrate me fruits, you know. And I have that to snack on, dry fruits and stuff. My sun-dried tomatoes, I use that in my cooking. You know, I put it in olive oil and I store it away, you know. Like I said, I did my research when I was doing this, so I can be able to enjoy my eating. There are so many different vinaigrettes recipes out there, simple recipes, you know, make a simple salad, you know, and you wouldn't believe how flavorful it is. You don't have to have all that heavy dressing, blue cheese, ranch, and all that on your salad. I make me balsamic vinegar, vinaigrettes. I mean, there's a lot. I eat a lot of Greek salads that I make myself at home. I love feta cheese. I buy that by the bulk when I go to the grocery store. And I mean, I love feta cheese, you know. And because that salted taste to it, it makes a salad taste good. I like to take it and take me some herbs and smash it up and put it in a pan and put some olive oil on it and sit it in the oven and let it get soft and get me some pita chips and eat. That's delicious. Like I said, you know, that's a snack for me. It's good. I mean, you know, give it a try. And see, does that help you with your information that you're going through? And I'm going to leave you guys with that. And I really appreciate you all listening to my podcast and sharing my podcast. I really do. I am so grateful and thankful for you all. Namaste.